Thank you for an in-person praise team.
Wow.
It's good to have you back again. What excitement you bring to our worship. I don't know why there's so much difference between a piece of plastic and the real life people, but there is. It's good to have a granddaughter here this morning. Melinda is our oldest grandchild and from our oldest child, our oldest daughter. We appreciate Melinda's zeal, her energy. I think Melinda was born with a smile, and it doesn't go away. Melinda and I have the same professional caregiver. I'm quite sure how all this happened, but the last time I met with my caregiver, I don't know if people are, doctors are able to do this, but she did. She said, "You know, I appreciate your granddaughter." I said, "Well, we do too." She said what just really turns her grandma and her grandpa on. She said, "Melinda oozes Jesus." Wow. Hope somebody can say that about me. Melinda oozes Jesus. Well, we're going to look at peace this morning. I think Glenn and Joanne saw my notes, so we could have the benediction, and Dale, we could go home right now, but we aren't. I'm going to take some of your time. I'm kind of a hands-on person, so we're going to do something different this morning that we don't usually do. First of all, we're talking about P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C-E. Let's be sure that this is understood. I had an experience this week that I have often, but rarely. And you've had the same experience, I think, but I'm gonna walk you through this experience. On Tuesday, after I was through with my study and my devotion, I had this overwhelming release of facial tension. I thought, what is going on? I didn't ask for this. This overwhelming peace just overcame me. And in my study, I discovered that there was something about receiving the peace of the Holy Spirit that is our part. So this morning, I'm going to have or suggest ways in which receiving the peace of Christ can be your part, and then let's see what happens. I'm going to make some suggestions as to where we go with this, and this is not a have-to thing, but I think it'll help us to receive the peace. One of the things I think that's putting tension in our lives is our cell phones. So I'm going to ask you to put your cell phone on the floor, turn it off, put it in airplane mode or whatever you do, stomp on it, shut it off. I'm going to ask you to put both your feet on the floor. And I'm asking you to unload your laps and put your hands on your lap. This is homemade, so... And this is the harder part. I'm going to ask you to not keep rehearsing your troubles. Do not rehearse your troubles at this next time. I'm going to ask you to put aside all your circumstances. Let it go. Don't worry about what's for lunch. Don't worry about where the car will start, whether you can make your payments this week. Forget it. Let it go. Can we do this? I'm asking you to sit quietly. Your hands are on your lap. Your feet are on the floor. Now, I want you to think about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus to you? What are some ways in which you've seen prayers answered within the last 10 days? How has your life been changed by the Holy Spirit within the last week? Oh, this is hard stuff. Is peace growing? I don't think we can force this, but we can set up a situation that invites it. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I give to you." Are you receiving that peace? So as we sit here quietly, are we sensing peace growing within us? Remember that you have a trouble-free world waiting for you in heaven. Remember that you have a trouble-free world waiting for you in heaven. Well, receive the peace that Jesus can give you, the peace that he has. You may need to take time this next week to do this a few times and see whether the Holy Spirit just can't flood you with peace that the world really can't give you. As I thought about this, I thought about all the ways that we're trapped. I mean, this is our world. I no longer think about whether I'm going to lock my house or my car when I leave the car. How did I get into that mode? What is going on? I still don't know the numbers of my Social Security. But in a lot of cases, you need to know those numbers to do something. Why? What has robbed us of this? My pharmacist and my cardiologist want to know my birth date. Like, they don't know that I'm Barry. This is funny. To them, I'm 7-11. I'm not telling you the date, the year. And so recently, one of the nurses said, well, I didn't ask you where you're going shopping. I was born July the 11th, so I say 7-11. When I was a 10 or 12-year-old kid, I had no idea what a seatbelt was. And now we act like we can't live without a seatbelt. And I could go on and on with some of those things. My cell phone wants to know really who I am when I use it. Like, how did we get to this? I mean, we used to have a phone when I was a teenager that four or five people would be on the same phone. And now it needs my fingerprint, or I need to put in certain numbers or something to use my own phone? Excuse me. So what is peace? Glenn and Joanne did a very good job of sharing what peace is and what it's about. Shalom. I should greet you this morning with shalom, as Glenn and Joanne alluded. I think for some, peace is living in a country home with a lot of nature around you. I love that situation. I think for some, peace is like a lad going fishing in a small stream and the sun shining bright. That's peace. I think family peace happens when there's no quarrels and there's no words among the siblings or the parents. I think church peace happens when the preacher doesn't say anything that is upsetting. That's peace. On the national level, peace is the absence of war. But peace in the Bible, as Glenn and Joanne were saying, is really a right relationship with God and a right relationship with man. So peace is found in the Bible, I think Joanne said, 200 and some times. In the New Testament, I didn't count them, Joanne. New Testament is 88 times. It's in verses like, and this one's in the New American Standard, from, where's this from? I didn't write that down. Mark 9, it says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. An interesting version. 2 Corinthians 3, live in peace and the God of love and peace will be with you. Another verse from Hebrew, pursue peace with everyone. Romans 14, let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual understanding. From 1 Corinthians 14, God is a God not of disorder, but a God of peace. And from Isaiah 9, a child will be born who is a prince of peace. That forecasts the peaceable nature of Christ 700 years before Christ was even born. My wife and I love to hear Tony Campolo speak. Tony Campolo is a a Baptist professor and a minister, and he wrote several books. And one of his books is entitled, 20 Hot Potatoes Christians Are Afraid to Talk About. That's very, very Tony. But Tony tells a story about during the Korean War, he had to appear before a draft board. He told an army colonel that his reading in his Steps book made him uncertain whether he could kill people. Confronted with stern questioning from the colonel, Campolo said, if I got into a plane and flew over an enemy territory, just before I pulled the lever to release bombs, I would have to ask, Jesus, if you were in my shoes, would you drop these bombs? The colonel answered very quickly, that's the dumbest question I ever heard. Everybody knows that Jesus would never drop bombs. At Christ's birth, all heaven let earth know that Christ came to bring peace. Peace in the heart, a peace between persons, and a peace between nations. Peace on earth, the angels sang. Is peace possible? I love some of the old hymns of the church. One of the hymns that I learned to sing many years ago was Peace, Perfect Peace in This Dark World of Sin. Do you know that one? It's a hymn. When I sing this hymn, sometimes I don't catch the question that the writer Ed Bickerseth asks. Is it possible to have peace in a dark world of sin? Is it possible to experience peace with inner fears, frustrations, and failures? The writer says, yes, it is. Because even at the end of his first verse, he says, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Now, this is not the peace pursued at a peace table. This is not a negotiated peace. This is God's own peace in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Unless our relationship with God is right, there is no peace possible. There needs to be peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. And that peace with God is knowing Jesus as your Savior. The peace of God, I think, has to do with peace with ourselves. As long as we are torn by conflicting loyalties, there can be no peace. And then there needs to be peace with others. We cannot claim to have peace with God and be at odds with others. God did not wait for a peaceful world to send the Christmas angels with their song of peace. Peace results from our devotion to God's will. We lack peace when we let our own minds center on ourselves. Putting our own concern first never produces peace. We need to center our minds on who God is, what His will is, and fulfilling His will. The peace remains in spite of circumstances. I don't know if you ladies know what a shock absorber is in a car, but a shock absorber is something on your suspension, is a device in your suspension system that helps you to ride more smoothly. Now, a shock absorber will not remove the potholes from a highway, but it'll help you to cross over that divot in the road in a smoother way. I think that's something about the peace of Christ, the Holy Spirit. It enables us to travel the hard, rough roads with a kind of inner peace. So we lack peace when we let our minds center on our circumstances. Oh, I've done that so often. I can stack up negative circumstances on a big pile. I'm good at doing that. Oh. Rehearsing our troubles results in re-experiencing them. I often wondered, what was Jesus' frustration level? Did he ever get frustrated? But then I thought about some things that we read in the Bible when Jesus says, what do I have to say to you? What was Jesus thinking when he said that? Or how many times do I have to say it to you? Or if you have ears to hear, what's that implying? You need a hearing aid? Or I don't think that had anything to do with that. Or what do I have to do to get through to you? What was Jesus' frustration level? Sometimes scripture can be used for division. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Why would Jesus say that? That's in 2 Corinthians 6. That's in Matthew 10. In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, come out from them and be separate from them. Did you ever use these scriptures or hear these scriptures being used to justify Christians being at odds with each other? It would kind of make good sense, wouldn't it? Using these kind of scriptures, it's assumed that the wrong is always on the other side, on the opposite side. And we are to draw a line in the sand and say, that's enough. Enough is enough. When we use scriptures to justify division, we better look at the context of the scripture. In this case, division is not between one believer and another believer, but between a believer and a non-believer, or a Christ follower and a Christ denier, or God and the devil. Some people become friends because they have the same enemies. Think about this. Become friends because they have the same enemies. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees banded together to trap Jesus. Some churches find a unity in what and whom they are against. Most persons know better why they stay away from other churches than why they attend their own church. That is so true. I know some people, and we need to go on that, but so they are long on what they hate and short on what they love. One writer that I came across says that that person is already spiritually dying who tries to live by his disgust instead of by his admirations, by the things he is angry at and hates instead of the things that he loves. Some take seriously only the things they don't believe. These things really excite them. Remember, our souls live on what is believed and not on what is denied, doubted, or damned. The church lives by banding together in a common cause rather than around a common enemy. Another really hard question. How can we live out the oneness Christ commands without sharing in the others, quote, the others' mistakes? Some suggestions. We build ourselves up by tearing others down. Paul's guidance in Galatians 6 is to go in a spirit of gentleness, considering that we too may fall. And I think that's good advice. Another suggestion. The more serious the differences between people, the more necessary it is that we demonstrate to the world and to each other our love for one another. The reverse is usually the case. The greater the difference, the more we hate. Another idea. We must show a practical demonstration of love in the midst of the dilemma, even when it is costly. We must declare what is wrong, but be ready to suffer loss in a practical way. 1 Corinthians 6, the first few verses of that chapter say, why go to court? Is there not one level-headed brother among you who can make fair decisions? We can show love without sharing in another's mistakes by approaching the problem with a desire to solve the problem rather than a desire to win. Think about this. A desire to solve a problem than to win. When we discuss differences, too often our issue is to come out on top. That's human nature. We make progress when we, in love, desire a solution rather than a victory. I was caught by a verse found in Romans 10 and Isaiah, and I think, Mike, you preached on this maybe several years ago, and I would entitle this little section, How Beautiful Are Your Feet? Now, I won't get personal with this, but in Isaiah 52, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messengers who announce peace. How beautiful are your feet? Most of our differences and difficulties arise because we do not know the person that well. Because I often said, or have heard it said, when I learned to know him, it looked altogether different. And I understand what he was saying, he or she. So the church, new beginnings ought to be made up of persons who have learned to bring people together, to bring peace between persons, to go into areas of tension and bring calm to that. Free things up. We at New Beginnings should be an expert in bringing peace that Mannheim would wonder and stand in amazement at. It's easy to be It's easy to love humankind. It is not easy to love some particular people. To be moved with compassion for the crowd, or to love a flock of sheep, that's a pretty picture. I can say that, yeah. But Jesus takes the one sheep, remember this story in the Bible, Jesus takes the one sheep, the stupidest, the silliest, the lost sheep, the one that causes the most concern and bother, and risks his life to find it. And he shoulders the sheep and carries it to safety. Well, most of you know where my wife and I live, in Penryn, off of Gish Road. We call it our picture window. Out of our picture window, we can see several miles looking out. We can almost see the Brubakers, which probably live 3 miles away. If they paint a tree, I think I could see where they live. But we can see miles of mountains. We can see 3 or 4 farms. We can see the Pennsylvania Turnpike. But within 300 feet of our picture window are fruit trees. Not too productive, Mary, you know this. So at the end of March and April, my wife and I keep watching the fruit trees. What are some of the signs of life? We are expecting fruit from our pear trees. I'm going here with something. Peace, you know, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace, Galatians tells us. But growing fruit is not to suggest that there's a lot of noise and excitement as I watch these trees. In the spring, we do not say, we know that fruit is growing because we hear noise and because the trees are starting to rattle and jump around. They don't do that. We really know fruit is being produced because we see things are really silent, they're quiet, their buds are coming, there's flowers, and finally there's fruit. The process is so silent, but yet it's so evident. Spiritually, we're not assured that the Holy Spirit is present because one is shouting, speaking, singing, or jumping. We look for other evidence. The Bible says this evidence is the fruit of the Spirit. When the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control are visible, we know the Holy Spirit is at work. Have you ever asked, or have you ever been asked, how are you at peace with this? I think it's a very depthy question, and it's a good question. Have I ever received what Jesus speaks of? My peace I give to you. With regard to the problems that's pressing in on you now, how do you receive the peace that Jesus wants to give to you? If you only try to worry your way out of the problem, you will miss his peace. This is so me. If you ever try to worry your way out of the problem, you'll miss his peace. Figuring things out oftentimes doesn't go anywhere. I think I can do this. I had a mechanical thing yesterday on the farm that I don't usually get beat by some mechanical thing, but yesterday I could not figure this thing out. Really? So mechanical is kind of black and white. Either you fix it or you don't. We're still limping along with that problem. We need to listen to Jesus, the Holy Spirit say, "Let not your heart be troubled." Really helpful to me during my time of restoring my health from a heart operation. I turn to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I love these verses, where Paul instructs us how to maintain peace. It reads from the Message, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, and get this, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Wow. Will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays his worry at the center of our lives. I thought a good way to end our time together this morning would be to hear, and maybe you want to sing, the Alleluia chorus. Alleluia is a kind of an expression, Alleluia, the word, is kind of an expression of praise. So at the very last minute, I asked Justin if he could play this for us, and he can. So I'm going to ask that we, can we rise and receive the blessing that comes from listening to music.